B-Pod Studios.
Good morning, everybody. Mark Farzetta with you. Trey Thomas, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch. We got Andrew Salchunas on the updates today. What a day yesterday, guys, right? Nothing was happening. All was right with the world. Yes, you're scrolling for Bryce Harper, blah, blah, blah. But then the Sixers took to the court for a little, I don't know, what do you call it, a shoot-around, Bob? You call that a full practice?
I think it was close to a full practice yesterday after some days off, yeah.
Some nice things happened. Zaire Smith was running around. You had Jimmy Butler out there in his jersey. I want to be the better Zaire, says Jimmy Butler. And then a little nugget drops from the Sixers medical staff where, get this, Joel Embiid's hurt. Ever hear that one before? But here's the beautiful part of this. Initially, when I heard he was hurt and it was just a little soreness in his knee, I was thinking to myself, the classic, I'm not going to do what y'all think I'm going to do, which is freak out, right? Now, I was like, oh, you know, it's a little soreness in his knee. I'm okay. And then I thought about it. And then I listened to Brett Brown talk about it. And it turns out that, according to Brett, as he was addressing the media yesterday, the soreness was there prior to the All-Star game and prior to the All-Star break. If that was the case, why am I watching Joel Embiid fee-fi-fo-fum around the All-Star game itself for 23 minutes? Why am I seeing dancing all about in the karaoke and stuff? And I'm not anti-fun. But if you're a guy like JoJo who consistently says that you just want to play games and you miss so much time already in the beginning 2 years of your career, then wouldn't you treat yourself with kid gloves?
Yeah.
That would make some sense, wouldn't it?
It would.
So as I continued to think about it and I guess fester, I continued to get bothered by it more and more. I can't figure out. It makes zero sense to me why you would go out there and play while you had a sore knee if you're Joel Embiid. And if you're the Sixers medical staff, if you're the Sixers coaches, if you're anybody with the Sixers organization, why the hell are you saying, Joel Embiid, hey, go have fun at the All-Star game, do whatever you want. If you know that soreness is there and you know that the second half of the season you're going to have to make some kind of push to get up to that 3 seed, why is it all footloose and fancy free with your crown jewel, quote unquote, of the process and of your team right now? Like, as it went on, Bob, I got more and more furious.
I think you echo the sentiments of this, of the whole Delaware Valley.
Oh, my, Bob Cooney, thank you very much.
I'd been around this so many times, and you read into it, and I heard what Brett had to say and went over it again and again. It is so aggravating. It is so aggravating. What? Yeah, why is he out there? And then and Brett saying it's not a big deal, and to connect the dots between his sore knee and the All-Star game isn't exactly correct. Well, when you say it's been bothering him for a couple of weeks, and he went and played in an All-Star game, yeah, I'm sorry, but they are connected. Joel could have used the week off. Maybe he could have used 2 weeks off, which is what you could have given him if you told him, don't go to the All-Star game. Sorry, he can't play. And then you go to this, this week off. I wouldn't be so concerned about the injury, Mark, honest to God. And Trey, I think it's just I think this is more of a rest thing. I really do. I think it's, okay, there probably is some soreness, and the way Brett said it, NBA guys get this. Yeah, he's got general soreness from playing 50-some games this year.
Sure.
So they decided to shut him down for a week now.
Career high in games and minutes and all that stuff. I mean, he's only missed, what, 4 games so far this entire season?
But why not give him that week off during the All-Star week?
Good. That's the overwhelming question,
Trey,
right?
Yeah, just take that week off. Let that be your week of rest. I mean, just go out there, still enjoy the festivities, hang out a little bit. But don't play in the game. Don't go out there and pound yourself. Don't be up on the bouncing around with the karaoke, you know, with your shirt off. You know,
yeah.
If your knees are bothering you like that, just chill.
Well, let's not forget that when he had an injury prior, the meniscus thing, he got up on stage and was dancing. I think it was a Meek Mill concert.
Yeah.
You know, it's, look, Brett Brown is all about letting his guys be their on their own and having their, and Brett Brown loves, for his players, and he and I have talked endlessly about this, to enjoy the All-Star atmosphere. He wants them to walk into a locker room where the best players in the world are there.
Okay.
He's said it openly. And maybe his judgment of that, And I'm not saying it's all Brett's call, mm-hmm. but maybe that overshadowed what the maybe the smarter thing to do, which maybe would have been to rest Joel.
Yeah, I think so. And I look, I'm all for that.
Joel's going to see plenty of All-Star games. But
exactly.
He can't still go in the locker rooms and enjoy the festivities without going through the practices and
yeah. And look, I'm not going to sit here and say that they're actually doing hard work for this All-Star game. He probably was on the court very minimally. I've seen those practices. I put in air quote. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But still, you're still running up and down. You're still warming up. You're still doing basketball activities. Yeah, why not? If you had planned to take this week off, which I think it was probably planned, why not give them an extra week also?
Right.
I don't know.
Here's the thing where I'll look at the Sixers and that experience and say, great, I absolutely want. Like Trey said, go ahead, walk into that locker room. Go ahead, shake those hands, have those conversations. Talk about basketball. Talk about other things, whatever. I look at Anthony Davis. That man played 5 minutes. He's been dealing with an injury.
Yeah.
Why can't Joel Embiid 23 minutes in a game? Even if he fights you on it and says, "Oh, come on, coach, you know I want to play," then let it show you. Hey, play 2 minutes, play 5 minutes. Yeah, get your dunk in, whatever, and then sit down. Because I know, and we've made a big deal out of this. Everybody across basketball has made a big deal out of this when we talk about the Sixers' opportunity here to move up the standings, maybe take advantage of a Pacers team that we're hoping, crossing our fingers, actually starts to fade away a little bit here without Victor Oladipo, even though that hasn't happened yet. But that's what we're crossing our fingers for. You're looking at the second half of the schedule. And what we've been hoping for is that those Pacers will start to fall and then the Sixers start to rise. That's not going to happen without Joel Embiid. So when you look at JoJo right now and you look at the first half, really the first week of the second half of the season, post-All-Star game, I should say.
Yeah.
Those are tough opponents. Sure, the rest of the schedule, they face mostly teams that are under 500. And that's what everyone across basketball has made a big deal of. How easy the Sixers' schedule is supposed to be compared to the other three or four upper echelon teams in the Eastern Conference. Sixers are supposed to face the second easiest schedule. Well, not over this stretch of games. When you look at games against the Blazers, Pelicans, Thunder, and then they host the Warriors. Now, that game, I believe, is on March 2nd. And they hopefully will have Joel Embiid back by then. But, I mean, can we honestly look around and say to ourselves, being honest with ourselves, and say, oh, yeah, it's only going to be a week for Joel Embiid? Because it wasn't he's going to miss a week. It was he'll be reevaluated in a week.
Exactly.
And whenever we hear reevaluation with Joel Embiid, it always seems to be a lot more time than we originally anticipated.
Yeah, because if you're going to look at him in another week, okay, I'm not going to look at him and say, you're good to go tonight. No, they're going to want him to get on the floor, reestablish basketball activities, which is one of their favorite basketball activities.
Mm-hmm.
So that Golden State game on March 2nd, I'm looking at that as when he comes back. So that's four games out
mm-hmm.
against teams where you legitimately could go without him. You could go 1-3.
Yeah.
And you can't afford that right now.
The Heat, the Blazers, at the Pelicans, at the Thunder.
Yeah.
And then you host the Warriors, and we all hope he's back by then. I mean, I want to know the concern level from the fan base right now when it comes to Joel Embiid. I'm not saying this is going to be an injury where they're, oh, it's supposed to be a week, and then a month later, we're talking about why he still hasn't played yet. I don't think it's going to be anything like that.
I don't think it's a 3 to 6 week Markelle Fultz thing.
Right, yeah. I don't get that vibe.
No, but I'm not confident it's just a week.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm not.
I'm worried about that Warriors game, mm-hmm. which is about 10 days away, 11 days away. That's what I'm concerned about. So when you look at the whole thing with Joel Embiid, what's your reaction to his injury? Here's something else we're going to get into. There's some hate in Major League Baseball being thrown in the direction of the Philadelphia Phillies and the Philadelphia Phillies fans, Trey. Now, you played in front of these fans.
Yes, I have.
Well, do we deserve this hate, this negativity?
From the outside world?
Mm.
You know.
Yeah, exactly. It's from the outside world.
Yeah, it's from the outside world.
Do we deserve it?
Who really cares?
Oh, I care if it affects Bryce Harper signing here.
I don't care.
Well, I do. If we're not
gonna
get one
of the best, then he doesn't want to come here. So what?
But then he's a big baby. I don't want
exactly.
him anyway.
You
crumble.
No one likes us. No one likes us. No one likes us. We don't care. We're for Philly. Philly. No one likes us. We don't care.
Can we just tweet that to Bryce Harper if he doesn't sign here? Can we just do that?
Will there be a more hated person in all of sports ever than Bryce Harper if he doesn't sign here?
No, I'll answer your question. Nope. How's that for you? No, not even a little bit. I want to talk about that because MLB Network was just Oh, my goodness.
Your boy Dan O'Dowd.
I actually like Dan O'Dowd. And then yesterday, he was all like, Philadelphia sucks, and how do you like that? And Bryce Harper's not going to sign here. And then you know who...
he basically called us a bunch of mouth breathers.
Exactly. And then
the ignorance just bothers the hell out of me.
Oh, you...
I'm not going to talk about L.A. fans, although I've been there many times, or whatever fans. You can't speak to Philadelphia fans. Stop. I can't stand that.
But, Bob, he's been a GM in this city.
Oh, okay.
And by GM in this city, as he put it, he was a GM of another team that came into Philadelphia. Yeah. A couple other teams that came into Philadelphia.
Yeah, so. You know the fan base well.
But here's who really got me. And I always have to do a double take to make sure I know who this guy is, because he looks like a an Australian rules rugby player, right? Eric Burns destroyed any chance that the Phillies have of getting Bryce Harper. He's convinced it's not going to be Philadelphia. And he's convinced of that more or less because of the fan base. The hate being thrown in our direction is something just absolutely abysmal. So we'll get into that, of course, as the show goes on. Trevor Bauer. Did you see this story? Trevor Bauer has rules for dating. The pitcher from the Cleveland Indians?
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
It is pretty fascinating.
Wow.
And you know what? I appreciate his honesty. And ladies, I hope you as well appreciate his honesty. We'll get into that. We got plenty of other stuff to go. We have Temple tickets to give away. Yesterday was Charles Barkley's birthday. And one of his colleagues and former rivals actually had a really nice, beautiful birthday wish for him. So we'll get into that. We got plenty of stuff to get into.
Oh, that was terrible.
And we also have some Brian Dawkins news to get into, because Brian Dawkins himself is trying to help the Delaware Valley.
He's
in getting,
the greatest.
In getting Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
A couple of different things. The one thing we tried to get into yesterday, we didn't so much, but a couple tweets came out. Two from Brian Dawkins, and then another one from a fan that named his kid Dawkins. And Brian Dawkins quoted that fan's tweet and, like, gave them a shout-out, right?
That's cool.
Such a terrible fan base. Such a terrible place to play, let me tell you.
Bunch of mouth breathers.
We got Rock in Atlanta. Then we got open lines after that. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll let you hear from Brett Brown, who had a heck of a day yesterday.
Oh, man.
Just a heck of a day. Brett Brown talked about the injury to Joel Embiid and then was asked about Markelle Fultz, saying it's good to be in Orlando, where I'm going to have coaches that don't just tell me what I want to hear, but actually teach me. Brett had a very interesting response to that, and it's something that I think every PR class should be teaching. Time of the Fanatic is 6:13.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson with the day off today. Andrew Salchunas on the updates for you. 610-632-0975. So, Bob, you had some things we're going to run through regarding Brett Brown yesterday. So we'll jump into all that and how he's trying to control the situation with Joel Embiid. Don't completely freak out, everyone. Nothing to see here. We'll get to that in just a second. But Dave's been holding in South Jersey. What's up, Dave?
Yo, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, bud.
Wish you guys didn't talk to the Globetrotters before me, because that kind of calmed me down. That was a great interview.
Oh, thanks. They're great. They're just great dudes. Zeus and Speedy, good guys.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm going to be seeing them soon, so I can't wait for that.
Great.
But, what they calmed me down about was this comments by the MLB Network about fans being too hard on their players.
Ugh.
For between 30 and a 4 in the number deal that you're going to be getting. So we're talking $30 to $40 million a year you're going to be getting to be playing baseball. Yeah, we're going to be hard on you. We do expect you to play like it's game 7 all the time. You're getting paid $30 to $40 million a year. And if you're going to sit there and say that the San Francisco Giants fans are a little bit more forgiving, that means they're not paying attention enough to actually what's going on. They're not looking at the year-to-year money that these players are getting. And then you're going to sit there and lag off? That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
No, we expect you to be playing hard. We want a championship. That's why the owners are going out there and spending the money that they are spending for you to be doing that. For you not to run out, go after every ball, to run out every play, that's ridiculous for the amount of money that they are making. I mean, those comments were just ridiculous.
No, yeah, you're absolutely right. And we'll play them again. Dan O'Dowd is the former GM and currently working for the MLB Network that actually put out those comments about how almost we expect too much from our player. Like, we expect them to try. You can't take any time off in Philadelphia because we're such a tough fan base. And to that's not asking too much at all.
My boss expects me to give it everything every day for orders of magnitude below what these players are making. You're damn right that I'm going to expect them to be doing that for the millions that they're making. Mm-hmm. I'll listen to you guys now. Thanks a lot. Have a good day.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, you too, Dave. Good stuff, man. I appreciate it. 610-632-0975. So here we are right now as the 76ers released this news yesterday. And we've talked about this at length. I mean, Jamie and I have talked about, Bob and I, we've gotten into it. When it comes to Joel Embiid, Trey, I don't look at him as if he's in bubble wrap anymore. Every time he hits the ground, I'm not, oh, woe is me. Oh, my God, he's going to miss.
Must be nice.
He's going to miss 2 months of the season.
Must be nice.
I don't have that. I wish I didn't. I don't look at him like that anymore. I've seen him play long enough, healthy enough, where that's not my concern. Plus, I'm too busy being absolutely in awe of the way this guy, who is north of 7 foot tall, can move around a basketball court.
Yeah.
It's absolutely incredible. That's what I am absolutely enamored with now. But when something like this happens, I can't help but to have flashbacks to the Brian Colangelo era in Philadelphia, when it was a sore knee, there was an MRI. Oh, no, he's fine. He'll play against Houston. He plays against Houston. And then afterwards, it comes out that, yes, in fact, they saw a torn meniscus, but it was so, quote unquote, acute that they didn't think it was going to be any big deal. Turns out Joel Embiid's rookie season done after 28 games because of that torn meniscus. It's just something that intensified over time. So now, before the All-Star game, they discover that he's having some soreness. They give him an MRI afterwards, and it shows that no structural damage is there, but still, the man has suffered a knee injury bad enough to where he is going to miss at least a week, as the 76ers are going to take 7 days to and then reevaluate him, and then he may or may not be back in time for the Warriors game coming up on March 2nd. So, Bob, let's walk through this right now. We got Brett Brown yesterday when trying to say nothing to see here regarding Joel Embiid's injury.
Nobody needs to read into anything here. This is an NBA athlete, you know, that has some soreness in a knee, that has had an MRI, and we all should move on. We'll miss him, obviously, playing-wise, but it's not anything that isn't completely pointed toward keeping him ready, and especially ready when it matters most at the end of the year.
If that's not a look over here type of attitude, I don't know what is. And I'm not trying to be the guy that freaks out about all this, but if it's something that was affected at all by playing 23 minutes in the All-Star game, then guess what? He shouldn't have played 23 minutes in the All-Star game. Maybe rest would have been a good idea. Who is playing a career max in games, is playing a career max in minutes per game. Maybe just then it would have been a good idea to give him a break.
But no. Because listen what Brett Brown also said.
Oh, no.
Maybe the time off actually did more harm than good.
This is the circle. He played.
Look, they are giving him a week vacation. That's all it is. I'm telling you, I can read into these things. I am convinced he is taking. Is there soreness in the knee? Probably. Is it any more severe than it was 3 weeks ago, a month ago, at the beginning of the season? Maybe. Maybe not. I'm telling you, I think they planned this out, and they plan to give him this week off. I mean, some of the stuff that Brett says, we'd all be making a mistake. It's a natural dot connector, and it shouldn't be, to think that it had anything to do with it, meaning playing in the All-Star game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, in fact, when you speak to the medical people, one of the things at times that exasperates it is time off.
What?
What? So why are you giving him time off?
The medical staff is advising...
is saying that time off is not good. So listen, here's... I'm reading into this. This is my opinion.
This is Brett Brown's quote that you just read.
I'm reading quotes. So I think that they said he's making the All-Star game. We have to let him go to that. Good for him. I know Brett loves for these guys to go to the All-Star game. How about if we give him the week off after that?
The week off after that.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you that's what they're doing.
They're giving
him a week off.
That's
what aggravates the hell out of me.
So you mean to tell me.
I'm not questioning injury. Brett said tendonitis. I am not. But I'm pretty convinced they're giving him a week off of rest. Like, he could play. I don't think this is... The roundabout way that Brett is talking throughout this whole, you know, the story that I'm, you know, reading, what I just told you there, and then he's gonna be keeping some level, this is quote, some level of maintenance. He's going to play. He's going to be out there. He'll be shooting. He'll be, you know, keeping himself in shape so that he'll be back for that Golden State Warriors game. I'm thoroughly convinced of this.
Maybe the time off exacerbates it.
Maybe time off actually did more harm than good. The bottom line is nobody needs to read into anything here. This is an NBA athlete that has some soreness in his knee and had an MRI. We should all move on. I'm telling you, it's deflect, deflect, deflect. We're giving him the week off.
You just could have had a week off.
I agree with you. And not only could he have had a week off, you say that having time off isn't good.
Right, so now you're giving him more time off.
You're giving him time off.
And look, he's played one game in the last week. Played 23 minutes in the All-Star game, 10 minutes below his average for an actual regular season game, right? So you mean to tell me in that time off where you only played one game in a week, you want to give him one game in 2 weeks? How is that helpful if you're telling me time off is bad? Medical staff of the 76ers?
I don't know.
Brett, you know, that's Brett's
where
me.
That's where the confusion comes in, because I just think that they're giving him a week off.
But then, why would... Okay, you're fighting for a playoff seed, right?
I hear you.
You're fighting to not face the Celtics in the first round of the playoffs. You're trying to get to the third playoff seed currently occupied by the Pacers, who just lost their leading scorer about 11 games ago. Now, they have done well, keeping their head above water. They're one game over 500 without Victor Oladipo in the lineup, but still occupying the third playoff seed in the Eastern Conference. Barely. You're trying to improve your playoff positioning. That's what you're trying to do right now. And in a second half of the season, really 24 games left in the rest of the year, you're trying to put yourself in that better position. So right now, the Sixers are looking at the Pacers, hoping that they fall, and in turn, hoping that they start to rise. You're not going to do that in the second half of the season when your toughest games in the last 24 are in this seven-day stretch. You're looking at games against, okay, the Miami Heat, you should be able to win. But then you go on to face another decent team in the Pelicans, the Thunder, and then you host the Warriors on March 2nd, which is outside, obviously, a week time frame from right now. But still, this is at least a week Joel Embiid could be missing when you should have. If the goal was to give him rest, don't let him play in the All-Star game. Anthony Davis went to the All-Star game. He's been battling injury. He played 5 minutes. Joel Embiid, 23.
No. Totally agree.
Come on.
Yeah. The analytics, this is how I read in it. The analytics that the medical team constructs and is ruled by somehow is telling them that this is the best time of the year to give him a week off.
I don't...
After all, I know how... I know. Trust me. You know me. I don't...
Right.
Like, I am almost 100% certain that this is exactly what's going on.
If that's what the way they're handling it, it makes no sense to me. Should you play in the All-Star game, Bob? I say no. I say absolutely not.
If he had, and that's another thing. Brett says he had the soreness before the All-Star game.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Take All-Star break off.
Yeah, that's what you would have done, Trey. Yeah.
Although, no, taking time off exasperates it.
But you just played one game in a week.
This is what I put up with for the last how many years?
Isn't this a different medical staff? Haven't they changed? Is this Medina fella? Isn't that something that they brought in later in the game?
Yeah, but when they start with the load management stuff, it just directly goes to me, them saying, look, this is the perfect time of the year for him to take some days off because it'll help you down the line.
Now, the Sixers announced two injuries yesterday. Well, actually, three bits of injury news yesterday.
Zaire,
he's back. He's playing. He actually practiced with the team, right? He ran around with the team. He scrimmaged with them. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Butler was wearing his jersey.
Yeah, but not going to contribute to the team this year?
Yeah, possibly.
So he's just going to practice?
Most likely not. But you never know. It's not a bad sign that he's practicing.
It's something. He's helping.
I never expected him to play this year anyway. That is something with the 76er curse that even Ben Simmons was asked about by interviewer Kevin Hart.
Zaire.
The 76ers curse that Zaire is suffering from right now. Or, yeah, you're not expecting him to play.
The kid is a baller.
Korkmaz sustained a right knee injury. Looks like his MRI revealed a meniscus tear. See what happens with him. And then Joel Embiid, and this is what they said about Joel Embiid, is experiencing left knee soreness, will undergo treatment involving physical therapy and load management. He had an MRI done, which revealed no structural damage. As a precaution, he is listed out and will be reevaluated in approximately 1 week. So that doesn't mean he's going to miss 1 week and that's it. That means it could be more. Doubt is going to be less.
Yeah, no, I think I'll stick by what I said. Right. Joel, you got the week off. You're going to maintain basketball activities. Don't get out of shape on us, and we'll see you against Golden State.
All right, you're looking. Here's something else you're looking at. Golden State, you hope he comes back by. That was Brett Brown trying to just say nothing to see here in the cut we played for you earlier. Bob read some of the quotes, and then this was interesting. If we all remember Markelle Fultz when he was introduced just last week by the Orlando Magic, he said that thing that we all, I mean, talk about reading into something. You didn't have to read into this too much when he said, it's good to be around coaches that are really going to coach me and not just tell me what I want to hear. Well, Brett Brown was asked about that very quote yesterday, and this is how he chose to respond to it.
He didn't do that. He's a good kid. He's a good young man. And truly, we wish him well.
He didn't mean that. Was the first part of that. Now, a lot of basketball is bouncing to practice yesterday, but he didn't mean that. I'm pretty sure Markelle meant that. Why would he just say that? I mean, it was almost like he went out of his way to say it. It was in the middle of like a 60-second answer, and he just threw that in himself. I don't think he's just throwing it in if he didn't mean it.
Yeah, I go both ways on this. I don't know if he was trying to praise the new coaches that he has and didn't realize that people would interpret it a different way, or if he went out of his way, like you said, Mark, to absolutely throw some dirt on. I didn't say shade.
dirt on
Brett Brown and the staff there. I don't know.
I don't know how you could read it any other way.
Really?
Than him unprompted talking about that.
But I think Brett believes that. I don't think Brett was BSing there. I think he was honestly, he said, look, he didn't mean it. He really does have a genuine like for that kid.
Well, was it a matter of maybe saying, oh, no, I agree with that.
Yeah, I
agree that Brett, if I'm going to read his mind, I don't think Brett is taking it personal. I just think he either thought the way it was interpreted wasn't the way I'm interpreting it. I know that he and I had a good relationship, have a good relationship. As you said, the coach of the Magic is a longtime family friend of the Browns,
right.
of Brett Brown and his family and all that. So when you think about that, okay, fine. But I just don't see Markelle throwing it in there just because he's trying to praise his other coaches. I think he's a smart enough kid to realize the magnitude of his words. I think he is. I think he got bad advice about his status in the NBA and his playing time and all that. But I think he's smart enough when he's up there speaking to know what he's saying. I think he knows what he's saying when he's talking about other coaches. Talking about Brett Brown, maybe he's talking about somebody else on the coaching staff. Maybe that's what Brett Brown meant. But I think either way, Markelle meant whatever he said about whatever coach he might have meant it about in Philadelphia.
Like, say if Trey was my coach and people told me all about him, all about what kind of coach Trey is, and then somebody asked me about him, I could possibly come out and say, look, he's not going to be the type of guy, the coach that just tells you what you want to hear. He's going to really push me and you know, that might not be a slight on anybody else. I'm just devil's advocate.
No, I understand. I get it.
And I did go both ways on it, yeah. on what he said.
That's a talent.
Man, don't listen to me like that.
You're getting a side eye from Trey.
I'm just listening.
Yeah,
it's a little bit.
You're using words.
Trey, do you think that Markelle was taking a shot?
I don't know, man. Who cares? I mean, you know, I don't know.
Evidently, Brett doesn't because he didn't mean that.
And I know Brett's not going to get up there and like, what, I gave him everything that he could. I
mean, of course,
you know,
not.
He's just going to, hey, man, he didn't mean it or whatever. Good luck. All right, move on.
At worst, I was expecting something along the lines of not he didn't mean that, but hey, you know, he can feel how he wants to feel.
Yeah.
Like, I like to think of our time together as a nice time together.
Yeah, it was
That's
beautiful.
What I'll remember.
It was a great time.
Lewis Pensalkin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Lewis?
Hey, what's going on? A couple things. First of all, with JoJo, I love JoJo. He really kind of brought me back into basketball, you know, even more so in recent years because of, you know, who he is. But we got to call a spade a spade. If you listen to Landry Shamet, he's talking about he gives him four chocolate chip milkshakes before every time they get on the plane and stuff. JoJo needs to watch his diet as well, you know. And then he's eating cheeseburger on the side of the, on the side of the court before the games. A guy at that size cannot eat like that and have that kind of diet if he's going to last as long as he can last, you know, should last. So, you know, I think that, you know, aside from everything, he needs to really start watching his diet and maybe play at a lower weight. Continue to perform at its peak.
I don't think there's a. I don't know. I don't get that vibe. I don't think that the guy's got a bad diet.
So when you put on weight, and I put on weight,
yeah,
it puts strain on your knees.
Oh, sure, it does.
It does.
Let's ask Bob. Yeah. Bob, is that something that the Sixers are concerned with?
Yeah,
they're concerned with his weight.
Well, not they're concerned with his. I don't want to say his current weight or something, but they're concerned with his
diet.
I would say they've been keeping an eye on that for a long time.
I remember that when he originally got into the league, but that's just from watching him over the last 2 years, he looks like he's got that under control.
Yeah, I don't think he's ballooned or anything, Lewis. I'm not saying I don't think Lewis is saying that either, but it's something that they constantly have to keep an eye on, I believe. Yes.
Okay.
You would like to play that. And also, Marco, listen, please go back and listen to that tape. When you go for a press conference, you're not talking about anybody else's coach. You're talking about the fans and the coaches that you want to play for and you want to play in front of. If you go back and listen, but you really took that totally out of context. He would say he specifically asked him, "What did the players on the team that he knows, and the players that he's heard, you know, that have played for the coach that's down there? What did they tell you about him? What did they tell him?
I don't think that was it, and I wasn't taking anything out of context. We'll go listen to it again, but I wasn't taking that out of context, Lewis. Thanks for the call. He was asked about playing in Orlando. And having the coaches that he has now, he went out of his way to reference the coaches that he has here in Philadelphia, that he had here in Philadelphia. That's what I heard when I was listening to it. It was like, it's good to be amongst coaches and players that are going to tell, coach me and not just tell me what I want to hear. That's a reference back to what happened in Philadelphia.
It could be. But it could also be that he doesn't know Steve Clifford from Clifford the Dog. So,
well, see, that's the part where Lewis was right, our caller, about saying, what have people told you?
Exactly.
And you're right. He doesn't know Clifford from anybody. But in what people told him, then, yeah, that's part of it. But I think him referencing something else that happened earlier in his career was not what people were telling him.
Well, no, unless they said, he said, what's this guy Clifford like? And they said, you know what? He's going to coach you hard. He's really going to push you. He's not going to just tell you what you want to hear. He's really going to, it could be.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But I did not get
again,
that
again, devil's advocate. Yeah. And I understand. I didn't take it the way that you took it the first time I heard it. But then listening to it over and over again, I thought, wow, maybe he was throwing some dirt over this way.
Again with the dirt, Bob.
Dirt. Trey made a rule. I stick by it.
Throwing dirt willy-nilly all over the place.
It's everywhere.
610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up, continue this talk about Joel Embiid and how you're feeling about it right now. Are you concerned with it? We'll get you an update on our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation coming up in a few. Still have these Temple tickets to give away. We just had the Harlem Globetrotters in here, and with one caller, they did exactly what I thought they would do. With a lot of people, Harlem Globetrotters, they just inspire instant happiness. You imagine, oh, by the way, I'm going to see the Harlem Globetrotters. Oh, really? The smile. You know, it makes you feel good about sports, right? Something in sports that makes you feel good. What's instant happiness in the sports world? 610-632-0975. You give us one we like, put you in the running, you'll win some Temple tickets going on for this weekend's game coming up. Temple Owls taking on Tulsa this Saturday at noon at the Lee Corps Center. And how about this? All kids in sixth grade and younger can score a basket on the court following the game. Visit owlsticks.com. 610-632-0975. Talk about throwing dirt. Eric Burns of the MLB Network trying to throw some dirt all the way in the Philadelphia Phillies fans' direction, as well as Dan O'Dowd. Let you hear those comments coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic. On the line with us right now from Philly.com, Mike Sielski joins us. Good morning, Mike.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Oh, we're just we're reveling in all things sports in Philadelphia right now, between what's going to happen with Nick Foles, what's going to go on and happen with Joel Embiid after this injury, whether or not Wayne Simmons is going to get traded, and whether or not Bryce Harper is going to get signed. Other than that, we're just hanging out.
You know, I don't think necessarily any of those things are as calamitous or as unpredictable as you might think.
Right. We hope that's the case. And, Mike, a man of your brilliance, we're hoping you can help shed some light on all this. So let's go one by one here. First, the most recent. Joel Embiid going to miss right now at least a week, as he's going to be evaluated in a week with some left knee soreness. What did you make of this being announced yesterday and him playing in the All-Star game for 23 minutes?
Don't like it. I mean, Brett Brown admitted yesterday that he's been dealing with this, he being Joel, for, you know, for a while, for more than a couple of weeks. And yet there we saw him, you know, in the last game before the All-Star break, you know, leaping into the Madison Square Garden stands unnecessarily to try to save a ball in a game that the Sixers are up 15 points. There we see the Sixers playing him, you know, in losses. There we see him, you know, playing in the All-Star game when he could have gotten a head start on his rehab. You know, I know that Joel loves to project the, you know, kind of I'm having a great time at all times kind of persona, and the Sixers seem to revel in that, and everybody loves the social media accounts, but this is a man who is constantly beset by injuries, and, you know, that should be his top priority. Does he want to win a championship? Does he want to, you know, fulfill the value of his max contract? And, look, I'm entertained by Joel Embiid as much as anybody, and I think he's an incredibly gifted player who has a chance to be an MVP and could lead the Sixers to a championship. But I think, you know, they have to start doing, they being Embiid and the Sixers, have to start doing the small, subtle things to make sure that he is at his best and healthiest more often.
So you would not have let him play in the All-Star game?
No, absolutely not.
That's a brilliant man, Mike Sielski. I've said it once, I've said it a million times. Mike, how about this? When it comes to this team playing together, they have to be able to play with one another and really learn each other's games, and Bob Cooney's made this point many times. So with him possibly getting the next week off, do you see this bleeding into another week and another week, or is this something that you would predict would just be, yeah, sure, give them this maintenance week and they'll go from there?
Given the Sixers' track record on injuries and on transparency, do you honestly think this is going to be a week?
Nope.
Yeah, I would take the over, and I would take the over by a lot. This concerns me. It really does. And, you know, to your very point about, you know, the need to develop some continuity. I mean, look, they took a, for all the laurels they're getting, and, you know, kudos to Elton Brand for going after Jimmy Butler and going after Tobias Harris and moving Markelle Fultz to create more salary cap space for the offseason and even a little bit this season. You know, this team needs time to gel. It needs time to come together. This was a risky proposition that the Sixers were taking on this season, that despite all their talent, it was all going to come together and work, you know, in time for the playoffs. And this does not help in any regard, because he's not just the guy in the starting five. He is the guy in the starting five, even with all these acquisitions. And how they play without him is going to be substantially different from how they play with him. And presumably he's going to be there come the playoffs, and it just means it's going to take more time and a longer stretch of time for them to come together and be at their best once the first or second round of the playoffs arrive.
Mike, what did you take of Brett's quotes yesterday? I mean, in one point he's saying now he had pain. He's had pain back before. We've known about it. Didn't want to take him from the All-Star game because also our medical people say that taking time off exacerbates it. Like Brett talked in circles yesterday. Do you think it's because, and does that lend to your fear that this is something more serious? Because I took it the other way. I think they planned a week off for him.
Yeah, I Bobby, you've been around Brett. You know him better than I do. You know, but I think they send him out there in some regards just to take bullets. You know, he's going to be the spokesman of the franchise. For all the talk that Elton Brand's going to address the media more often, Brett is the guy who they put front and center and basically say, handle this, you know, be the Baghdad Bob of this situation. And, you know, I think that's what he did yesterday. And look, if Embiid has been dealing with this for as long as Brett acknowledged that he has been, then they had no business sending him to the All-Star game. And they should have made it clear, you know, I know this kind of thing would never happen, but if he insists on going, then they should have made it clear to him that they didn't like the fact he was going. But, you know, they do try to walk this line of, yeah, we're committed to winning and we're doing what it takes to win, but we also want to revel in our own Sixerness. I mean, this is an organization that threw a pep rally on the steps of the Art Museum after it got the number one pick of the NBA draft. Why did it get the number one pick? Because it had the worst record in the NBA. It lost 10 games. That was nothing to celebrate. And yet they treated it like it was worthy of a pep rally. I don't understand their public stance on things often.
Right, we'll speak with Mike Sielski, Philly.com. The goal is to try to catch the Pacers here, and the guys need to play together in order to do that. They're only a game behind them right now, but they're the fifth seed because they keep losing to the Boston Celtics. Do you think those Pacers will eventually fall and the Sixers will be able to get up there to that three seed?
I think it would be a big disappointment if the Sixers didn't get up to that three seed, or at least get home court advantage in the first round. I mean, right now, they're the fifth seed in the conference. So all this talk about, you know, what Harris and Butler can do in the playoffs and the Sixers starting five is the second best in the NBA to the Warriors, you know, that all gets mitigated and muted if you don't have home court advantage in the first round. You know, this isn't a team with that, you know, has LeBron James in his prime. And, you know, he can just put everybody on its back, and it doesn't matter whether you have home court or not. This is a team that is substantially better at home than it is on the road. And they better hope that the Pacers, without Victor Oladipo, come back to the pack, because the Sixers need home court advantage throughout at least one, if not more, series, I think, to make a deep playoff run.
No, I would agree with that. I want to move on to football with you right now because it's another story about Nick Foles, and it's Bryce Harper and Nick Foles, the two players that are going to be talked about for a while now until something actually happens, and the speculation will continue to run rampant. So when you look at Nick, does he get franchise tagged and traded, or do you think the Eagles just let him walk?
It makes no sense for them to try to franchise tag and trade him. Number one, that's not the spirit of the rule of a franchise tag. The whole idea of franchise tag is to keep a player who you deem valuable for another season. It's not to keep the guy so you can trade him. And there are so many machinations and things that would have to happen and so many hoops that Howie Roseman would jump through to pull off that kind of trade, including find a team dumb enough to acquiesce to it on the other
right.
end. That I don't see that happening at all.
If you're Nick Foles, Mike, would you sign it?
Would I sign the franchise tag?
Yeah, for $25 million.
Probably, yeah, because I probably bank on my ability to then go out and play and earn a long-term contract, and I'll take the money while you're willing to give it to me.
Okay. All right, I want to move on now to hockey real quick because Wayne Simmons is supposedly very much getting interest from other teams around the league with the deadline approaching in a couple of days in the NHL. Do you think the Flyers will move on from Wayne Simmons?
I think they probably will. I think they should have moved on from him before last season. That was when he was at his peak value. Nothing against Wayne Simmons, who I think is a terrific player, but he had a down year last year, and the value that you can get for him now at this deadline is probably not what you could have gotten for him on a very movable contract before last season. But, you know, we've talked about this, Mark. The Flyers have tried to walk this wire between totally rebuilding and trying to remain competitive, and they decided to try to remain competitive. And Simmons played through some injuries last year, did not have as good a season. The team made the playoffs and got bounced. Now they'll be, you know, fortunate or have to make an incredible, you know, rally over these final 20 games to get a playoff spot. And you're going to end up moving on from him at the deadline when you could have moved him at his peak value and gotten more for him.
All right, Mike. Now here's the other stories. We're talking to Mike Sielski of Philly.com. Bryce Harper.
Have you heard of him?
Who?
Yeah. Is there more of a, in the history of Philadelphia, you can remember, is there more of an anticipated signing ever than this, the way this has been talked about for months? What, 109 days we're at right now? It's incredible.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time thinking of one, and it's not a perfect analogy. You know, I think of Terrell Owens after the Eagles made the trade for him and the anticipation that accompanied seeing him play once the Eagles got him, but not like this, not this buildup of, you know, here is the face of the sport, the premier player in the sport, the premier personality in the sport, aside from Tim Tebow, of course, and, you know, the fact that the Philadelphia franchise might get him. I don't recall anything like this. And, you know, I mean, for the sake of PR, they probably ought to get him. Now, if they don't get him, they're still better than they were last season. And they were an 80-win team last season that added, you know, the best catcher in baseball and a pretty good shortstop and some bullpen pieces that should help out a lot. But, of course, it's going to be a letdown if Harper ends up with the Dodgers or some other team. So, yeah, to answer your question, Mark, I don't recall any buildup to a potential free agent like this one.
If you don't get Bryce Harper, Mike, what do you do if you're the Phillies? Do you try to make up for it by doing some other big things, as big as you can? Or do you just say, well, you know, next year's class with Arenado is not a bad class either as far as free agency?
I think you probably do a little bit of both. You know, there's still some guys out there, you know, pitchers who they could conceivably sign. And I wouldn't be necessarily opposed to that, though I think that, to be honest, this season is going to come down to the back half of their rotation, whether guys like Nick Pivetta and Vinny Velasquez and Zach Eflin really can take a step forward. Those guys kept them in it for a while last year, and if they can improve, you know, then the Phillies are really looking pretty good. But I think if they'll kind of split the difference. They might sign one or two more guys, nothing anywhere approximating, you know, what they had done earlier this offseason, and then, you know, stash that money away for whoever might be coming down the pike. That doesn't mean they shouldn't go all in on Harper now, because you don't know what's going to happen in off seasons to come. You don't know who's going to decide to stay, where he's at, who's going to decide to go. This talk of Mike Trout 2 years from now, we have no idea what's going to happen 2 years from now. Mike Trout may not be an option for all we know.
Mike Sielski, Philly.com. So last thing for you, do you see them getting Harper, and for how much?
I think they will. I think it's going to take a number with a four in front of it.
In front of it? Oh, listen to you being more clear than that Buster Olney character. In front of it.
Yeah, I do. I think this was what they anticipated all along, that Scott Boras was going to wait and wait and wait, and you couldn't rush the process because Boras would not allow it to be rushed. You knew he was going to make Dan Lozano, Manny Machado's agent, blink first, and now Boras is in that position. And the question the Phillies have to ask is, are they bidding against themselves? And even if they are, how high are they willing to go? So, you know, I think they'll end up with him. And I think that given Harper compared to Machado, and the fact that relative to their positions, Harper is a more productive player, I think you're going to see Harper in Philadelphia, and for a dollar amount and a year amount that are going to make people go, oh my goodness.
Well, here we go. Hopefully it happens in the next couple of days and just ends all the anticipation. Mike Sielski, Philly.com. Always appreciate you coming on with us. Great stuff, man.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Mike Sielski, Philly.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.